let's start. So thank you for coming. This week our question is probably about 3 years old to the date. It took place in Israel after Israel first instituted its Corona social distancing laws for minyanim. So around this time, Israel said that you could, for Purim, you could only have minyanim of exactly 10 people. So this story happened in Yerushalayim, where they got 10 people together and they started davening. And then just like in any minyan, where you start davening and then more people come in, so here you had just the exact number of people. And then after a while, a couple more people trickled in and nobody did anything. Then a couple more people trickled in and didn't do anything until after, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, you had 20 people davening together, which was double the amount that was allowed. So at some point, the police heard about it. They caught them, and they gave every single person a 500 shekel fine. Now, the original 10 people got really upset. They said, we had prearranged that there would be 10 of us, and that would be it. And so we were totally fine. And you 10 people, you came afterwards and broke the law and got us all slapped with this huge amount of fines. So we're not going to pay. Instead of everybody paying 500, we want the last 10 people to pay 1,000. We don't want to pay anything. We want you to pay our share. The other people said, well, look, you didn't yell at us to go away. You could have chased us out. You could have left. You didn't. So you were obviously okay with it. So... yeah, okay, you were right initially, but in the end, you're just as guilty as all of us. So we should all have to pay it equally. What do you guys think? So you're saying that people shouldn't have to pay more than their share, but the initial 10 people, they should appeal their fine and they should be wiped out. That would be nice. I don't know. I don't think the Israeli police was going to do that. So what Rav Zilberstein thought made sense over here is that there's actually a case in the Gemara. I don't know, when you were little, they sometimes had these books. By me, it was called Who Sunk the Boat, where you had a bunch of animals that would climb into this rowboat. And it didn't sink, it just kept, the boat kept on getting lower and lower and lower until this one little, tiny little mouse climbed in and the whole boat sunk. And so all the animals were trying to figure out, well, who sunk the boat? Was it the big cow that went in first? Was it the big horse that came in second? When in fact it was this little mouse, but if you would have put that little mouse in first, it wouldn't have sunk. It was the sum total of everybody, and the last straw that broke the camel's back, that's the expression... that mouse was the one that did it for everybody. So the Gemara actually has a similar case, not about animals getting in a boat, but of people loading up suitcases onto an animal. So the Gemara talks about if you have five people that are sharing somebody's donkey, and they start loading up their packages, and then one last guy comes in and puts his suitcase on top, the animal collapses and dies or breaks a leg or something like that, and the question is, who has to pay?
Who's the last guy invited?
Was the last guy invited? It seems like he was.
That's different from this case.
Yeah, you could say. So let's see what the Gemara says. It seems like he was invited. The Gemara doesn't exactly specify, but it seems like it was invited, especially from the way the Mefarshim understand it. The Gemara says that if, without this guy, the animal would have been fine, then the guy has to pay. Then only the last guy has to pay, even if he was invited. If the animal was okay now, but in 10 minutes along its journey, it would have collapsed, and this just made it go faster, so then everybody has to pay equally. So how would you apply that over here? In this case, if the other 10 people wouldn't have come, would the police have fined them at all?
No.
No. So it's just like where they would have loaded up the camel, and without the sixth person, the camel would have been fine.
Just to understand the law better,
mm-hmm.
because the last 10 guys didn't come as a full minion, the camel would have been fine.
Right.
What if 11 or 12 people had come? Would the police have fined the last two people?
That's an interesting question.
That helps me understand the case better.
So, legally, yes. Would the police have known? I don't know. You know, if somebody's reporting them to the police, I mean, somebody obviously called the police on them. So would they have said, oh, here's 11, we got to call the police? I don't know if they would have or not. It's only when there was this such large crowd that it attracted attention. So it's a little bit hard to know for sure. But legally speaking, the police would have come.
What did the government want?
The government said only 10 people are.
What did the government want the 1, 2, or 3 people who don't walk around in groups of 10
right.
to do in order to down with the minion? What did they want them to do?
They should have prearranged a group of 10 people.
What if they
couldn't? That's not the government's problem. That I mean, again, the government said that's
right.
Our business is just stopping large minions.
It's only epidemiology. Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So. If I would have had to...
A limit of 19 would have made more sense.
Yeah.
we didn't agreed. Have any dispensation of this country.
No. They were even crazier there in moments, but we were pretty crazy.
Yeah, they tracked their cell phones, but... So according to this Gemara, I would say then that the 10 people should have to pay everything. The last 10 people should have to pay everything, because without...
Well, maybe just the last guy.
Well, again, technically...
The last guy might be like the little mouse.
But legally, the last 10 people are the same.
That's the
sticking point.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, but there's actually one major difference. Aside from...
You're understanding this as basically a din Torah between the first 10 and the last
9. Yeah.
The state is not party to this.
No. The first 10 people...
Oh, that's
the first 10 people sued the last 10 people in Beis Din. But there actually is one major difference between the camel case and between the davening case, aside from the being invited.
Like the person in the actual case, they called the police to come. If they hadn't called, then they probably wouldn't have known.
Yeah, so that's a major difference. Why? Because when I put my suitcase on the camel, when the sixth person puts his suitcase on the camel and the camel collapses, I'm directly damaging that camel and causing everybody else a loss. When I show up to the minion, am I actually hurting anybody? Am I actually causing any direct loss? No. It's just when the police come and they say, hey, you're hanging around over here, that's when everybody else gets slapped with the fine. So it's not directly damaging. In halacha, that's called grumma. Grumma means indirect damage. And the halacha is, grumma, when it comes to damaging, you're not allowed to do it, it's usur, but you can't collect it in court. It's putter. Grumma bin azikin, grumma, when it comes to damaging somebody, is putter in court, but you're chayiv in shamayim, meaning that Beis Din can't force you to pay up, but Hashem wants you to. So in this case, what Zilberstein said is that they weren't allowed to do it, they shouldn't have done it, and in Shemayim they're going to expect you to pay, but these people can't sue you in court for the money. So just for us going forward, hopefully we won't have to deal with Corona anymore, but you should know that when it comes to indirectly damaging, you might think, hey, I don't need to pay, so it's okay. The answer is no, that up in Shemayim, there is an expectation that you pay. It's just that Beis Din can't force you to. And that applies all over. You know, there's many cases where I don't directly hurt somebody, but I'm indirectly causing them a loss. And even though they can't sue you in court, that's still usur, and Hashem still expects you to compensate them. All right.
Can I ask you a
have a great day.
About
yeah.
That?
Yeah.
Unless people have to run. So what about these companies? There's one particular one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Where there's a documentary about it, nominated for best documentary.
Oh.
What about a company that makes narcotics?
Right.
And people take these, and a significant percent are misinformed, probably intentionally by the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they become addicted. And now you have thousands and thousands of deaths across America and Israel in every place every year. Is that grammar? It sounds like grammar. Are you telling me that they're not liable for intentionally harming the people? And
so that's interesting. So the way you're framing it is that my false advertising, I mean, let's be honest here, it was false advertising. My false advertising caused you to take the medicine and get addicted to it. I didn't actually shove the medicine down your throat.
And at some point, a certain number of people do and don't become addicted. And at a certain point, a certain number of people who become addicted will actually die.
It's a very interesting question.
I don't have the answer.
I don't know for sure. There is a third category, which I didn't want to say because that complicates things. In between direct damaging and indirect damaging, there's actually a middle case called garmi, which there's... The Ramban wrote a whole book about it, trying to figure out what it is. Nobody really knows. It's a middle category, which you're still obligated to pay for. One of the major differences is what's called bari hazeka, which means that we know this is going to happen. So over here, I didn't know the cops were going to come, and there were many illegal minyanim that existed when the cops didn't come. So that's not called bari hazeka. That's not like for sure it's going to happen. By the opioid, you could make the argument that it's pretty sure that if you false advertise, one of these people was pretty sure you're going to get addicted to it. So I wonder, and again, I don't know. It's a really good question, and maybe we could talk about it a different time. I'll try to look into it. Maybe you could say that would be this middle category where, like, let's be honest here, on the scale that they and the fraud that they were operating, maybe that would still be, or maybe that would bump up from indirect to this middle category of garmi, and they would be obligated to pay. I don't know. It's a really good question.
Either way, Midine Shemayim, they...
But yeah, obviously, Midine Shemayim, they're going to have to pay. It's Usser, but could you sue in a Beis Din? I don't know.
Okay. But they're not in a Beis Din.
No. Very... obviously, yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. Yasha, go ahead.